Welcome back to Vermont Viewpoint. Over the past 6 months, little by little, I, and I hope you, have had the opportunity to learn more and more about the outstanding work that's being done by Central Vermont Home Health and Hospice. At the very least, I've learned to rattle off the full name of CVHHH without hesitation and to know exactly how many H's there are. Once again, I was amazed, pleased, proud to learn about another initiative of theirs. Joining me now to discuss it is Katie Leffel. She's the maternal child health nurse supervisor at CVHHH. Katie, thank you for being with us this morning.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. And Emily McKenna, who is CVHHH's chief marketing and communications officer. Emily, welcome back to Vermont Viewpoint.
Hi, Rick. Thank you.
Hi. And listeners, you can call us with your questions or comments at 244-1777 or 877-291-8255. You can also email vtviewpoint@radiovermont.com. Emily, what role has CVHHH played in helping to get Vermonters vaccinated with the COVID vaccine?
Well, I think one of the first things that we did was we recognized and realized the importance of trying to figure out an efficient way to get to people who were homebound, our clients included, but also people in the community who aren't currently enrolled on services with CVHHH, how to get them the vaccine efficiently when they became eligible. And one of the ways that we did this was to partner with some local ambulance services, Barry City Ambulance and Waterbury Ambulance. We set up a system. Our CEO, Sandy Roos, worked very closely with them to figure out how to handle and how to administer vaccines to everyone who was eligible and who was homebound. So that means they couldn't, they couldn't safely get out of their house, get in the car, and get to one of the public clinics, which were abundant. But, you know, for some people, it just wasn't safe. It wasn't medically indicated for them to get out of the house. And, you know, if you remember, it feels like ages ago, but the weather was, I think, also a factor for a lot of folks who just couldn't, you know, get over a snowbank or safely drive in the snow. So we partnered with our local ambulance services. That was one thing we did. And then we also got a team together of vaccine nurses. There were 12 CVHHH vaccine nurses, including two nurses who had retired but came back to, three actually, came back and joined the team and joined the effort to help and to vaccinate community members. And to date, we've given over 700 first and second COVID vaccines to Central Vermonters at home. So we're really, really proud of the effort and of the partnership with our nurses and with the local EMT.
Now, I think you've also worked with Norwich University to help in this effort.
Yep. Yeah, we have a board member, Paulette Thibault, who is their director of, who I believe is the director of their School of Nursing, and we had another new board member come on from Norwich from their School of Nursing as well. And, you know, Sandy, our CEO, is she's always thinking, How can we build relationships in the community? And she thought, well, you know, a lot of times we'll have students from Norwich come through as part of their clinical rotation, but this is such a unique opportunity. I mean, how many times, knock on wood, in our life are we going to be dealing with a global pandemic? So we brought in 18 junior-level nursing students and partnered them with one of our vaccine nurses, and they got hands-on experience administering the vaccine and talking to clients about, side effects and about the vaccine, answering questions. And it was, again, another really great partnership, and it benefited us, it benefited the community, and it also benefited the students. It gave them experience that they don't necessarily always get, you know, in school.
And Emily, why is this effort to get people vaccinated, you said over 700 now, by CVHHH. Why is that something CVHHH really is involved with and interested in undertaking?
You know, we believe, Sandy Roos, our CEO, believes strongly and talks about this often in letters that she writes to the community. You know, we are, our roots are in central Vermont. We are so deeply connected to this community and care. So, you know, care, it's our mission, but it's also kind of who we are, and the people who come and work at CVHHH are called to do this work and work for CVHHH because they live here, they care about their neighbors, and, you know, they want their community to be healthy and well. And so it just feels like it's kind of another thing that's a part of who we are and what we felt responsible to do. I think on top of that, we were also just very uniquely equipped to pretty easily and pretty quickly get on the road. You know, we're already going to people's homes, so why not take advantage of that and bring the vaccine to people? It just made a lot of sense, too.
Katie Leffel, what do your nurses tell people about the vaccine, and especially if someone is hesitant to get the shot?
Yeah, well, the first and foremost message we want to get across to people that are hesitant or have questions is to reach out and ask the questions and ask from a reliable source. So, you know, whether that's your home health nurse, whether that's your physician, whether that's Department of Health, just reach out and really have a conversation with someone that knows the facts. Because what we're hearing, of course, as I'm sure everyone is a lot of misinformation coming from social media and or friends and family, with just kind of some of it's really, really wrong, some of it's just a little off.
Katie, everybody so, I know knows everything about all the vaccines. They know everything.
Right. Well, kind of. Yeah, exactly. And then when
kind
you
of,
into
yeah.
The real, you're like, oh, that's not totally right.
Right.
So the biggest fears I've heard among some of the younger moms and families that we work with are questions about, is it safe when I'm pregnant and breastfeeding? Which the answers are yes, and you can actually transfer some of that immunity to your baby, so it's actually a great time to get immunized. And they have all the latest results from the immunization progress has shown that it is safe for pregnant and breastfeeding moms and for their babies. So that's a big question among our population. And then the other questions, can I give people COVID when I have the symptoms after a COVID vaccine? So, you know, am I transmitting the COVID virus when I have those flu-like symptoms after a vaccine? The answer is, of course, no. That is not COVID. It's just your body's natural immunity responding to the vaccine. There's also been quite a few questions about the Johnson & Johnson vaccine and whether they're going to get a blood clot from that. And, you know, again, the answer is, unfortunately, there were a few very, very rare cases of an unusual blood clot in women, but that's why they put it on hold, and that's why they did the study or, you know, did a little more research around how the safeness of it. And then now, of course, we found that it's a very small, in fact, a very small, unfortunate number of people. So it's safe, basically, and it is a desirable one because it's a single dose, so it's a lot easier to administer. That's been a big question. There are questions about DNA, too. Does it change my DNA? What does that look like? And again, the answer is no. It does not change your DNA. It uses the messenger RNA, which I don't want to get too technical about it, but it uses some components of our genetic material, the virus's genetic material, to let our body recognize and fight the virus, but it is not something that is left in our genetic code. So that has been a concern. There's lots of sort of confusion about, you know, DNA and genetics and how that works. So just to sort of, no, it does not change your DNA.
Okay, good.
But I want people to hear.
All right.
What other questions? Those are the big main ones. There's some questions about how long it lasts, which, of course, nobody really knows yet.
Right.
Things like that. The big concerns are really about getting sick afterwards. That's the most often concern I have, which, you know, my usual response is, you know, 2 or 3 days, maybe 4 days of feeling under the weather is a whole lot better than getting COVID and transmitting it to other people. So, yes, you may have a few days where you feel under the weather, but that's a whole lot better than COVID and those, you know, potential illnesses related to long the lingering effects of COVID and things like that as well.
Right.
And just to really remind people, there is a lot of our population that is unable to get the vaccine right now, including children under the age of 15 currently, 15 and under. Hopefully that'll change as time goes by, but the best way to protect all the children in our community is by getting this vaccine.
Wow, that's a great point, Katie. Katie, yeah. What training is conducted for not just your nurses, but the people who are collaborating with CVHHH to make sure vaccines are handled and administered properly?
Are you asking how we train our nurses?
Or, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so basically our vaccination team are the main ones that are handling the vaccinations, and they are a sort of crack team of, you know, trained on how to make sure that the vaccines are used effectively and kept safely stored. So not, it's, of course, the issue is not just are they safely stored, but how do we use up every dose of that vial once we crack the vial. So, so that team has really worked hard to, make sure that every dose that we draw up is used, so and we aren't wasting any. So most of the effort around training and keeping those vaccines at the right temperatures and all the details that go into that is actually handled by a specific team.
Nice.
And we just go to them for support, or if we need some doses or if we have somebody to add to the wait list, we go to them. So.
Right.
And I can add quickly, I believe that a lot of the individuals on the vaccine team have in the past participated in our public flu clinic, so they're familiar with, you know, they're kind of familiar with the general process and how to prep someone and what to say. So I think that was part of it, too. They kind of came in with some knowledge.
Yeah. Sometimes we forget that, you know, we've been doing this vaccination, you know, with the flu vaccine every year. So there are a lot of things we did learn through the years from that. So that's pretty great point, Emily. We're going to take a break, and then we'll be back to learn more about the work of CVHHH during this Nurses Week. Our numbers are 244-1777, 877-291-8255.
Truckloads of new varieties of plants, shrubs, and trees are arriving daily at Green Mountain Landscaping. This spring, come to the experts and get the trees you really want. Apple trees and fruiting shrubs. Green Mountain plants, too. They have weed-free compost, stone products for patios, and decorative stone. Ask about Green Mountain Landscaping's three choices of mulch. You can pick up or they'll deliver. Need advice on your gardens and tree placement? Ask the award-winning gardeners. Happy customers and music to their ears. Green Mountain Landscaping open every day on Route 100 next to the airport.
Hi, this is Melissa Bunce from the Kellogg Hubbard Library in Montpelier. At the library, we're constantly adding new online content, like consumer reports, so you can access all their issues and even the buying guide, or This Old House, so you can get help with all of your home repairs. Our classes will teach you how to get your GED, train your dog, or speak Klingon. And we have thousands of movies, even The Wild Way of the Vikings. All you need is your library card to start downloading. We're busy with online programs, too. Check the website for links to children's story times and adult events. If you miss something, you can often find the video after the fact on our website or YouTube channel. And if you still savor the feel of a real book in your hands, the library offers curbside pickup 6 days a week. Order books, DVDs, audiobooks, and more. Just go to our website, KelloggHubbard.org, or call us at 802-223-3338.
We're back, the DIY Building Advice Guys.
We've been on hiatus from the airwaves, but we are starting our YouTube channel live broadcast and wanted to invite you to join us.
Our live call-in show is on Tuesday evenings from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Just call us during those times at 802-200-2550 and ask us about your project.
This is a new format for us, but we're excited about it. We'll be taking live calls, speaking about topics like we usually do, and we'll be doing interviews with local and national figures in the building science world.
We'll talk about important issues regarding DIY on your home, new builds, legislative topics, and more.
Of course, we'll hear from our friends from Efficiency Vermont and one of our new sponsors, Sega Tapes and Membranes.
So join us on Tuesdays from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Call in with your questions to 802-200-2550 and we'll give you our advice.
You can find our YouTube channel by doing a quick Google search for House Calls Vermont YouTube. We'll see you then.
You can also find the podcast at WDEVradio.com.
Let our staff at the Warren Store ease you back into a pre-pandemic lifestyle. We can cater your postponed events and even bake you a custom cake. We can dress you in comfortable casual clothing. Make it a day trip for the best one-stop shopping in Vermont. Have lunch on our deck, head upstairs for some much-needed retail therapy, then treat yourself to a specialty coffee from our new espresso machine. You can pick up a colorful Warren Store beach towel for a dip in the river, and how about a delicious house-made ice cream sandwich? Fun, funky, safe, and friendly. Warren Store, Main Street, Warren Village, and warrenstore.com.
We're back on Vermont Viewpoint, and we're discussing the efforts of CVHHH to get the COVID vaccine to homeless individuals in central Vermont. Katie Leffel and Emily McKenna are with me. You can join us by calling 244-1777 or 877-291-8255. Emily, what telemedicine, telehealth efforts has CVHHH been involved with during the pandemic to educate and to help keep people connected?
Yeah, the thing that I think one thing we're particularly proud of is that we didn't have to stand up a whole new program. We've had a telemedicine program for a number of years, and the pandemic, it gave us an opportunity to kind of think outside the box in a lot of ways. Programs or pilots or partnerships, again, that we were starting to work on, we just got a little bit further down the road with those. Most importantly, when we were in the height of the pandemic, we reviewed every patient's and oncoming patient's medical record to figure out, okay, so what is the best way to serve this person while also keeping in mind their safety, the safety of our staff, and reducing any possibility of transmission. So we kind of incorporated telemedicine into people's plans of care whenever it made medical sense. And we also use, you know, telemedicine isn't just a video visit on an iPad. It's a phone call to someone. One of the things that we did, again, during the height of the pandemic is one of our PCAs made regular check-in calls to our long-term care clients and people who were home who normally get visits from a personal care attendant. And, you know, when I spoke with her, her name is Crystal, and she said, you know, some people wanted to talk for 2 minutes. Some people wanted to talk for 40 minutes. It was a really important way for us to maintain connections with our clients and to make sure that they had food. And if they didn't, we would, you know, kind of connect them with someone who could help them, just to keep in touch and to make sure people's emotional needs were being met, you know, as well as their physical needs. And, you know, we have kind of a number of ways that we're piloting using the telemonitor now. Going forward with hospice clients and with some patients at the CVMC cardiology practice. And I think kind of the pandemic kind of pushed us to take steps, and it's been great because we're finding lots of new opportunities to use the telemedicine to complement the in-person care that we can provide people.
Katie, what's the work that CVHHH has been doing for people in transitional housing?
Yeah, so actually it's been a really wonderful partnership. We have worked with the Good Samaritan and People's Health and Wellness and the Department of Health to support the families and people that are living in the general assistance housing and hotels and the transitional housing, and then the people actually unhoused on the streets around surveillance testing for COVID originally. So, and then also now we've pivoted to the COVID vaccination clinics. And Teresa Fennell from the Good Sam has been instrumental in organizing those. She's been really amazing on that, and we have all come together to staff them as well. So we've had two clinics already for people that live in the hotels, like I said, and then also other homeless or unhoused people. And then we are actually having an upcoming pop-up clinic on the 18th at People's Health and Wellness Clinic in the Blanchard Block in Barrie, May 18th from 11 to 3 at the J&J Johnson & Johnson walk-in clinic. So that's another clinic we're having, and then again we're going to have the second clinic for the Moderna vaccine that we did the first step. We did two clinics already. So that's a really exciting community project that we've worked on together to really pull together and serve this population that was a high-risk population. And then also just doing some real work around, again, the hesitancy and the fear factor and talking to people and helping them get transportation to the clinics and those kind of things. And then also I've worked with community partners. You know, on Friday I picked up two doses of the vaccine from another walk-in clinic that Capstone was having for their early Head Start clients. I was able to secure two doses of vaccine and actually drive it to one of my clients and vaccinate a pregnant mom and her boyfriend that were had some fears and some hesitancy around it. So I was able to just, you know, work with our community partners, just sort of a last-minute thing, and call, you know, the Capstone partners and say, hey, do you have two extra doses? And they did end up having extra doses at the end of the clinic. I was able to grab them and just show up at my client's house and say, wow, you know, strike while the iron's hot, and they were willing to accept it then, so I was able to do it. So we're really working closely with our community partners to make sure that these harder-to-reach populations are getting the information they need and then, again, getting access to the vaccines. There's major transportation issues and a lot of different things that are barriers for Central Vermonters getting that vaccine who may be open to it if you can get it to them.
Yeah, and
so that's
Katie,
what we're really working on.
Why are these specific efforts that you just mentioned so vital in the overall strategy of getting people vaccinated?
Well, it's just it's a piece of the big puzzle. So I think everybody who's eligible, who was motivated and had transportation and connectivity to the internet and all those pieces have gotten their vaccine for the most part. And so now there's these other kind of populations that have barriers to getting the vaccine or are more hesitant or are busy, you know, working, people that are working full-time or having a hard, you know, there's lots of different populations now, pockets of these populations that we really need to be able to target and do a little bit more of a targeted approach and, like, what's going to work to get these people vaccinated. Because the more, of course, we all know, the more we can vaccinate, the better off we'll do in the future at protecting, like, the people that can't get vaccinated and some from some of these variants. So we're really working hard in Vermont, and we're doing a great job at reaching hard-to-reach populations or hesitant populations. And it's going to take a lot of innovative solutions.
Yeah.
There isn't, one approach that's going to work.
Yeah. Emily, I would never have wanted anything like this to happen in our lifetime. But during this pandemic, there have been certain positives. And one is, it's called Everyone Eats Vermont. Explain what that program is all about.
I actually think Katie has been absolutely instrumental in getting Everyone Eats to Central Vermont. So I think Katie should answer because she's been put so much work into getting it off the ground. So Katie.
Katie, I didn't mean to slight you there.
She knows more about it. Yeah.
Okay,
so
good.
It's a Capstone project. They've worked really hard to integrate it into several different counties now. I believe it started in Washington County, though, and so our home health agency was one of the early adopters of the program. And basically the idea is that we are bringing frozen prepared meals to families or to people that have lack access to food or are for some reason related to COVID or health risks, unable to get to the grocery store as often as they might like to get there. So that's one piece of it. The other half of it is that the meals are actually prepared by local restaurants. So in order to keep the local restaurants up and running, Capstone was able to secure grants to pay the restaurants per meal. And then we get them delivered every week. We have a giant freezer in the maternal child health, which is also supplied by the Everybody Eats program. And so we actually bring meals to our clients. And the whole agency hasn't participated in this. We've been moving thousands and thousands of meals. And I want to say that the Everybody Eats program in general has delivered over 1 million meals since the beginning of the pandemic to Lamoille, Washington, Orange County. So it's been an incredible program. It's really helped the restaurants, and it's really helped families to be able to bring a really great home-cooked meal, you know, that's frozen, because they're really delicious meals. Mm-hmm. To be able to bring that to, like, a new family with a new baby who doesn't, you know, want to bring a newborn baby to the grocery store, you know, so we're able to bring a meal at least a week to them. Our hospice program and our home care program are able to bring these meals. It's been pretty incredible.
Yeah. kudos to everyone involved with that. Emily, we have about a minute left. CVHHH has had, it's been under strain, especially in those early confusing days of the pandemic, and as the case numbers grew from October onward. So how have you been able to deal with it and remain operating?
I think, you know, it's funny that you asked that question. We're kind of right in the middle of Nurses Week. I want to recognize the nurses and all of our clinicians. I think given how we do our work, going to people and bringing care to people at home, I think we were in a unique position to be able to adapt and to mobilize. And as soon as COVID hit, we created this internal task force and kind of set up top priorities in terms of getting PPE and reviewing patient records and figuring out how to incorporate telemedicine. And our staff, because of how they deliver care and are used to thinking on their feet and rolling up their shirt sleeves, that's what they did. They were just ready to kind of pivot and to kind of change how they delivered care. And it wasn't that much of a disruption to their work lives. And I think, you know, again, kind of calling on those relationships in the community with our partners, recognizing there are some things that we do or that we're really good at. There are some things that you're really good at. Let's figure out how we can come together and kind of bring a new idea to meet a new need into the community and just kind of always being open, I think, to collaborating and to working with our community partners.
Emily McKenna is the Chief Marketing and Communications Officer at CVHHH. Katie Leffel is the Maternal Child Health Nurse Supervisor. Thank you both for the work you're doing and for being on with me this morning. Really enjoyed it.
Thank you. Stay safe.
Thank you so much.
And happy Nurses Week.